You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I told you all we were going to start off with a song that's just really, really hot.
It's the time of the season.
Feels good to be back on. It's Wednesday night. We are dry humping our way through the week. And a lot to talk about tonight as you tune in for Quite Frankly. And there's Matt. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Go ahead.
Hello.
There's Matt right there. The interns are in the studio right now. Mike is chilling over there, just enjoying life. There he is. And let's see, what was the first thing to do? Checking Korean reports of atomic test. Give me a second looking at Johns Hopkins on this one. O'Connor is... Gadget Doc O'Connor is... tracking some reports of atomic testing out of Korea. And actually, Matt just made a joke about
you.
North Korea.
I told you, those sneaky fucking bastards. Fucking trying to secretly test nuclear
weapons.
They're
so sneaky. They think they can trick us into not noticing an atomic blast. It's on the ground. They're sneaky. Yeah. They blow up the... It is. It's true. We're all still sneaky.
We'll find out.
I'm telling you. Look no further.
President Trump's not going to like that. If he finds out they're testing nuclear weapons, he's not going to fucking like it.
Yeah.
And he's not going to go and give them more capabilities like this other spineless
weed
prick. President, I meant to say.
Yes. So good evening, everybody. I see Ann Caparato in the chat room. I see Brad Meyer. What's going on, my man? I see Stephanie. What's going on, Stephanie Evil? From the Gaslight.tv writing staff. Mike Delabate. And I'm sure we're going to be joined by many great people. Many great citizens of the world. Many great Americans. So there's that. We'll wait and see what Gadget Doc says on that one. Couple of things I wanted to do. Number one is Professor Lawson Bowling is going to be coming back on the air with us on December 14th. So I believe it's a Wednesday night, December 14th. So that night, if we get to the 8 o'clock hour and we spill over, it's okay. We can spill over. Because I definitely, if I can have him in here on a night that we don't have to stop for an hour, that's a night right there. So, December 14th, everybody, it's going to be history night, okay? History night over here on, quite frankly, Professor Lawson Bowling's, I think, third or fourth appearance, and it's always an awesome time. So, I think he should be wrapping up on Manhattanville at that point. December 14th, when are your guys' finals? Are you guys already out December 14th? That's the week that you're out? Okay, so he'll probably be done with everything then, because he definitely doesn't grade the papers fast, so he's not going to be grading. So he'll probably just be coasting that week. So that's going to be great. Mark that off in your calendars. I can't wait for it. Remind me to talk about the movie Burn After Reading tonight. We talked about it a little bit last night. I told everybody, please get it on your Netflix lists and watch it. It's so good. But we'll talk about it later on. Also, I wanted to remind you, I have not forgotten, because when we did that episode, that we should have never stopped looking for the communists. When we did that episode, I said that I wanted to get into all the different types of... all the different types of methods and the protocol. The protocols of the House Un-American Activity Committee and Joe McCarthy and his efforts to root out communism. And, of course, J. Edgar Hoover and his efforts and all these things that are going on. We were very hyper-vigilant about communist infiltration, especially in Hollywood. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Hollywood blacklist as well. I really do have that in mind to do as a show one night. I'd have to collect a lot of information. So I haven't forgotten about it. Because, of course, that also relates to what we talk about in recent years about no fly, no buy lists, all different types of blacklists, essentially blacklists that you can be put on by very arbitrary means, by unelected officials, to get your name off of one of these lists is almost impossible. And once again, completely arbitrary. So, I mean, it's subject to whoever's politics is ruling the land at that time, instead of what your rights are, you know? So there's a lot of different things to be spoken about that when we talk about the real need to root out communism. I mean, if you're a communist and you're just you've drunk that Kool-Aid and given up at least a half of your brain. When you've given up at least half of your brain and say, here, take it, I don't need it anymore, then I mean that's one thing altogether. If that's what you believe in and you love it, then I'm not talking to you. But for everybody else, those half-brained people, we've got to root them out of situations where they're preaching their shit. Or we at least have to make sure that they're not in the news media. Because if they're on the... it's one thing if you can find out where... if they're on the college campuses, make sure that there's at least a very, very strong balancing voice on the campus. Make sure that you're at least getting kids exposed to things. You know, that's the real problem here. A lot of the younger generations aren't getting exposed to different viewpoints. So maybe it's not so much that we need to find a way to root out all these communists where they lie and simply make sure that our media, our press is really as free as it can be. And we just need to make sure that balancing voices... opposing voices are heard and not marginalized and pigeonholed into certain different types of categories. See, they own the rights. These crazy fucks own the rights to certain types of words too, and concepts, and isms, and phobias. They own the rights to all this stuff. They're like, it's ridiculous. But they're running out of ammo. Weapons, you know, be that as it may, that all those words are weapons for these people on the left, any kind of collectivist movement. But the whole problem here is, how do we fight against communism without becoming fascists? Which, of course, is when you go so far right that you end up back on the left, which is exactly what that is. You get fanatical about something, especially if it's fanatical about rooting out the opposite of what you are. All of a sudden, you are the authoritative voice that does the rooting out. And there you are. Then you are. Now you're the centralized power.
There is always a necessary evil.
That's what I'm saying. You have to watch out for this shit. So that's always the balancing act. You know? And I think the real thing is representation. Certain voices have been beaten down, and they have been they've been stifled. And there's been a number of really ridiculous straw men created. And that's it. It's the thing that kills me. So, we'll find a time for that. Anything else in here I want to bring up real quick? No. Listen to this. OSU attack. And Trump, this is from Think Progress, everybody. So just remember, we're not dealing with very balanced opinions here. Think Progress. OSU attack and Trump rhetoric leave Somali American community vulnerable to hate. Listen to this story. An attack by a Somali American, Ohio. Just remember, Somali American. Somali American. He was a home. No, he was a refugee. He's a refugee. Okay? So once, right off the bat, they use the hyphens. They know exactly. These are psychological warfare experts. And if they're not experts and they're not trained, then they've just picked up very, very well from their masters. Okay? The ones that have the bigger following than they do. The ones that they got their training from. Okay? So a lot of mimicking. Perfect. Somali American, 100%. First of all, tie them to the domestic problem. Tie them to a domestic problem, number one. Okay? Somali American Ohio State University student on Monday has raised tension in an American community already facing demonization from figures as powerful as the president-elect. I'm not scared yet. Before Monday's bloodshed, the Somali community was already on edge. Members of the community are double minorities, black and Muslim, and their status as, quote, most visible Muslim community in America has left them in a vulnerable state, despite denunciations of the OSU attacker from Somali American community leaders. Most visible Muslim community in America, and now they're in a vulnerable state. Well, I mean, you don't have to feel that way. You simply don't. I'm sure there's plenty of people. I mean, listen, who's vulnerable? You think that this kid went and started slashing people, screaming Allahu Akbar, and after he tried to run some over, you think at that point when the slashing began, he didn't care if he was slashing Muslims, Christians, Jews, atheists, agnostics? You think at that point he cared? Oh, who the hell? So you know, Muslims, Muslim Americans should be very, very uneasy about this, as uneasy as everybody else is. So, what, I mean, this vulnerable state, don't you think we're all in a vulnerable state? Now the problem here is, and here we go again, what do we do? How far back do we bend before we have to just start looking at what the hell's going on? The problem stems from the religion of Islam. Whether this is sanctioned by a bona fide organization of terrorists or not, the inspiration is coming from things that have religious undertones or overtones. You know, so this is the problem. So if we're able to at least start, put the shit aside, cut the crap and talk to each other a little bit, then we can be honest about one thing, what they're inspired by. Organization and stamps and seals of approval and LLC, the ISIS LLC, I don't know what to say about that. I don't know. There's so many fucking different organizations. I can't even pretend to know what the hell I'm talking about half the time when we talk about the Middle East. That's why we get people like Gadget Doc to call in. But, you know, they'd have it a lot worse off if they were actually in Somalia. And Stephanie Evil says they have it so bad, it's a shame that they had to leave that beautiful and peaceful Somalia. It's we need to get to that point. Seriously, we need to get to the point where at least acknowledging that. See, it's sad to me that we need to make almost like we have to use sarcasm to get a point across, something that should be so obvious. But I guess that's what sarcasm is all about, whatever. What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Yeah, I'm just kind of want to chime in on the Somali thing real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, first off, I don't think this was radical Islamic terrorism. I'm going to put that out there. I know that's a controversial thing, but it seems the pattern seems closer to those kids that shot up Columbine than it does with, you know, a fundamentalist radical.
In what way?
It just feels like he had a hard time adjusting and socializing within the group, and that he perceived, for right or wrong, believed that he was being bullied or that he was the other. So I can kind of – I think that he was probably already emotionally unbalanced.
Have you read all the stuff that he was putting out on his Facebook and stuff, and you saw all that?
Yeah, I saw that, and it's again poor victim me, not, oh my God, I need to bring up a worldwide caliphate. You got to understand that Islamicism or radical fundamentalism.
Yeah, but I didn't look at this kid and think that he was fighting for a caliphate. I didn't think that. I don't think it has to be that collective of a thing.
For the type of terrorism, yes, it does. That's generally what makes an Islamic terrorist an Islamic terrorist. That doesn't mean that he didn't commit a gruesome crime. Doesn't mean that it's acceptable. It just means that this guy committed this act of violence because it was lashing out because he was unbalanced, not necessarily because to push forward religion or right. to push forward a vision of the religion.
I get you, man. But I don't know. Have we collected all the information that we can from this, or is this still something that's ongoing?
It's still ongoing. There was a report where the FBI is looking to see if he's self-radicalized, checking out Anwar al-Awlaki. Now, that dude's been dead for years, so I'm really finding that suspect that he would seek that person out, okay? It doesn't make rational sense. Now, are there jihadi websites? Yes. But here's the thing. If you're looking for jihadi websites, you end up taking that on board and radicalizing that way, and you're looking to push forward the idea of a perfect caliphate. It doesn't seem – everything about him doesn't seem like he's just pushing for a caliphate. It feels like he thought that he was he bought into the identity politics. He had a hard time – socializing in America, because I believe he was naturalized, and he like the Klebold and the other one in Columbine, just freaking popped a screw and lashed out. Mm-hmm. I think he picked the knife, because you can find a gun. It's not hard to find a gun. I think he picked the knife because he wanted to be stopped. Do you see where I'm going with this?
To be honest, I'm not even willing to give a person that much credit. I want to see more of what comes out. I can see the different view that you're putting up there, and I actually see the validity in your argument. And at this point, I mean, at this point, can you really help anybody from assuming the worst?
I think we've been conditioned. If someone is a Muslim and they commit a act of mass murder or violent crime, we immediately think that it has to be Islamist oriented, radical Islamic terror.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to give you a more nuanced approach here. A kind of, yes, it's possible. I'm not saying it isn't, but it doesn't. For all the years that I've studied this stuff, it doesn't ring true to me. Doesn't ring true to my ears.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for that, because, you know, it gives us something to keep in mind as the situation continues to develop.
Two quick things.
Okay.
Checked into the DPRK. Johns Hopkins thinks that CNN's just jumping to conclusions. yeah, there's satellite imagery. Yes, there's greater activity in Pyongyang. All it really indicates is that they're trying to modernize their technology and there's more economic development. Not necessarily indicative of a underground nuclear test. I did look back into some of their other reports.
Sneaky bastards.
And it doesn't look – they are building in their Sloan satellite area, but it doesn't appear – now, this is a couple weeks back that they're getting ready to do an engine test. So it doesn't seem like they're getting ready to try anything belligerent at this time.
They were planning to.
Hey, can I – what are you planning guys, to. What do you guys think would what are the chances of us seeing think about how this would solve everything. If there was a boxing match that we picked some kind of an international arena for it, it was Donald Trump versus Kim Jong-un. Or is it Il? Who's alive? Who's the one that we have right now? Un?
Il.
Il?
Un.
Un. Un.
It was okay. Sun.
I want to see if we a boxing match between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
That kid's never been punched in his face. Yeah, but
what do you think? How do you think you got? What do you think that how that go?
It still wouldn't be a fair fight because Donald Trump's 70 years old, and you're talking about putting a 70 year old man into a boxing match. I boxed even when I was in my 20s, and I'll tell you, 3 minutes of boxing or any kind of combative sport, if you're not really conditioned, you'll be winded within 90 seconds.
Oh yes.
That's why most like street fights don't last long.
Okay. So we're going to keep a lookout. If Trump starts training on the side, then we're going to think something's happening.
Yeah, if we start seeing him doing marathons and stuff, watch out.
It's different in boxing. It's different. It's not like UFC. The last thing to go is a power. All you need is one good punch. Yeah. Let that little fucking midget try and fucking punch Donald Trump, who will tower over him. And he's getting one punch in on a kid who's never been punched in his face in his life. Guaranteed that kid's never been punched. Kim Jong, whatever.
Well, a knockout punch on the chin is where you break the jaw, basically. And it's 10 square pound inch of pressure when you knock somebody out.
Yeah, it's not much. It's not much at all.
It's not much. Now, one last thing, and then I'm going to get off of here.
Yep.
There is a open case of voter fraud in North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been discovered in Moore County, North Carolina, that a 24-year-old, Casey Mulder, is accused. It has not been adjudicated, so we need to say she is accused of voting both in Moore County, North Carolina, during early voting, and in Orange County, Florida. I don't know which way she voted, but she apparently voted twice in two different states.
Who is this? Just some woman?
Yeah, just some 24-year-old girl. Fairly attractive, actually.
What's her name? Right. I want to send her a message.
I would never ever think an attractive woman would ever commit voter fraud.
Oh, they get of course. They know that they're going to get away with it. But until I found out, what's her name? I want to send
like
her a
Casey
message.
Casey Mulder.
What
it's
is
like
it?
Casey Mulder.
Casey
Holder.
Casey Jones.
Mulder.
Good Jones.
Like Scully and Mulder.
Mulder. Casey Mulder.
Yeah.
Casey Mulder.
Give her a piece of my mind.
Let me give her a piece. Yeah, let me get a piece.
So there's an open case of voter fraud, and this is ironic because
I had a huge
we have voter ID in this state, but the federal judge threw it out because, of course, there's no evidence of voter fraud in North Carolina.
Right, right. But now this Casey chick, I mean, she just dashed all of that.
If found guilty, she should be tarred and feathered in the public square.
Well, who'd she vote for?
I don't know. There's no indication.
It depends on it depends on who she voted for, right?
If you look in the producer's chat,
there you go. There's principles
Got the article in there for you.
What's her name? I'll tell you who she voted for.
Casey.
Case, how you
that's
spell
a great.
Casey?
I'm sorry, but that's a great name for a girl. I had a huge crush for a couple of years on a girl named Casey in Manhattanville, actually.
Yeah, she's a redhead too, and that's always my favorite.
She was a dirty blonde.
Casey Mulder Phelps?
All right. Hey, I'm going to get out of here.
I was waiting for somebody to say something.
Yeah, and I'm also going to – remember, I threw a couple of other things in there so you can kind of take a look at in case you get kind of stuck during the show.
Okay. Thanks, man.
All right. Out.
All right. Take care. Going to get very, very stuck. I'm going to get very stuck after the show. All right. So the Skype is on. Let's get back to this for a second. Because I wanted to get around to. The timing is not good. Omar Hassan, the president of Columbus-based Somali Community Action Association of Ohio, told USA Today, "We are black, we are Muslim, we are Somali. We are all the negative stigmas." And then you know what? What's the negative stigma? The negative stigma is to who? To you. I mean, this is what we hear all day. You talk about it all day. I'm telling you, most people don't have these stigmas. But when we see violence coming out of a certain group, then we have to be frank with finding clear-cut ways and how to get around to it. Because it affects everybody, including people within that group who aren't nuts. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why more were being planned to be brought in. And God knows what happens. This is why this stuff was happening. Because look, we're unable to talk to each other. We're unable to talk to each other. Look at this. You think that there is any way whatsoever that there's nobody here looking to do anything but create some kind of a division, and that's it. It went right up to the president-elect. That's it. Of course, CARE will get involved. CARE. The worst. The worst. So, I don't know. That's just shit. That's what I was looking at here. It's 7:27. Let me do some thank yous because I want to do that real quick. And we have other things to get to. A lot of other things. Good stuff. All right, so first of all, everybody, thank you so much. And get on over to patreon.com/quitefrankly, okay? And just take a look at what I have there for you, okay? patreon.com/quitefrankly. Did I spell everything right? patreon.com/quitefrankly. So check that out. And see what we have available there for you, okay? There's a 1776 club and the 1984 club where we get to be pen pals. And I'm going to be writing my letters starting tomorrow. It's going to be great. So, last night to get in on a nice Christmassy letter. A hopeful post-election letter. Last night to get in on it. Other than that, I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for all the support, because as the more this grows, the more I'm going to put into it. And thank you for help fund what I think to be very, very satisfying work. And I'm glad that you guys enjoy what I'm doing. So, Michael Wells, here's off. Shout out to my bosses. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew, Great Dane, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, who sent me a darling letter. They're going to get another one. You know what would be funny? You know when Matt Smith, who's the next guy on my list, sent me a tracing of his handgun on the back of his letter? Wouldn't that be funny if we all started sending each other tracings of our hard-ons? Would that be funny? Or that wouldn't be? Okay, forget it. I didn't say that. Mike May, who's going to be giving us something so precious and so dear soon. Over the weekend, he will be delivering this show's very brand new intro. So he will always be a part of this show's history now. Sean Collins, a man who knows his whiskey and his rum, especially. Christian Pepas, who sent me a free copy of the Amatory Murders latest release, so I have to listen to the whole damn thing and do a review. Maybe we'll have them on the show because they'd like to talk about current events and all that. Maxanne Caporato from Colorado, and big shout out to Rob Corrado, good friend of mine. Fujiao Pie, LS Dan. I saw Dan in the chat. What's going on, Dan? And, of course, Rudy Escarcega. Jackie Milam from Manassas, Virginia. Eric Reitz. Whitney McShanna. Matt DeFabio. Everybody, let's dance. Let's dance our way through this. Moonlit Matt. We talk about the tracing the dick. And Matt goes, I need a microscope for mine. Good one. I like a little self-deprecation. That's how I've gotten this far without, without completely breaking down. Matt DeFabio and Brad Meyer of the 1984 Club, because all good things need a dark side. StephanieKBeauty.com. Check out Stephanie K and all of her devious beautician creations. Devious woman. Take your face, turn you into a fucking demon. But then again, you say, listen, I don't want to be a demon. I want to get married. Make me look like an angel. She's like, fine, I'll make you into an angel, you son of a bitch. So if you're ever in the tri-state area and you go to anybody except Stephanie K, I just want to know what the fuck your problem is. Seriously, what's wrong with you? Oh, fuck. Jenny Lee. Jenny Lee, man, is she a trip. Kate McCallum. Good old Kate. Brian O'Connor, Gadsdock. He's already been on the show tonight. Marianne Hart. Bren Antilles of Rogue Squadron. I think it's 15 days now until Rogue Squadron is out, and we are going to be seeing the opening night 10:30. Opening night 10:30 p.m. show. It's going to be so good. We're already booked. And that's it. That's it for now, guys. So check out, quite frankly, on iTunes. Share it with a friend. Share it with a family member. All over the place. This is who I want, okay? This is what I really want to hear. I want to hear from somebody who lives in, like, Montana or something. Somebody who lives in a very desolate area in the woods somewhere. Okay? Adirondacks, New York. Wherever the hell it is. I want to hear from somebody eventually. Message me from somewhere who's in a secluded part of the country or something. And they listen to this podcast. And they listen to it at night and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's cozy to them because it's cozy to me. Because I think about that shit. It's cozy to me for that reason. You know what I mean? That's like I always wanted to write a story. I told you guys about the radio, about the police scanner and CB radios. I love that. It's always been very cozy to be in a room where your face is only lit by the yellow lamp of the lamps from inside all of the radio equipment, and you're listening in on police activity or something crazy going on locally, or you're talking to a friend, or you're talking to somebody else. That shit's awesome, man. You get a base station. I had a TRC 495 base station, and I had a VF. I had a couple different meters attached to it that I bought. A whole lot of coax line because I had this 24 foot CB antenna. I forget what it's called. I used to know all the brand names, all of that. It was 24 feet. I attached it. Then I attached a boom on it too, and my Uncle Rob helped me fasten it into the side of the house. And I picked up some ham radio users for, I guess, who are in our frequency for many miles, many states away, actually. And all that shit's always been very, very cozy to me. I don't know, just getting ideas out and getting something back, whether it be Morse code, anything. I love communication. And I'd like to see where this show has found a way to get spread around. I'd like to see that. You know? It's almost like blowing dandelion seeds into the wind. You never know where it's going to end up. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm just blowing seeds into the wind. And then I'm going to blow you. All right, that's it over there. So thank you for everybody. Those are my thank yous. All right, it's only 7:35. Look at that. We have 25 more minutes left. Let's go on a really quick break. And for this break, we're going to go to a... first, a video of Ben Carson when he Ben Carson really doesn't want to debate. You remember this one, Matt? This is the night when they were announcing all of the debate. And he was confused. But somebody mixed it. Somebody cut it so that it looks like Ben Carson just like was afraid. So this is a 2-minute-long video. So everybody, enjoy yourself, and we will be right back before you can say titty whistle. Hold on, don't say titty whistle yet.
In just 3 days, voters here will decide who they think should be the Republican nominee for president. So let's welcome the candidates for the Republican nomination for president. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Dr. Ben Carson.
Dr. Carson. Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Dr. Ben Carson, please come out on the stage. He's standing there as well. Dr. Carson. Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Ben Carson, please come out on the stage. Dr. Carson. Please come out on the stage. Dr. Carson.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush. And lastly, we welcome back to the debate stage Donald Trump. Ben Carson, please come out on the stage. Not the person. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson.
He just refuses to come out. What are you going to do? Oh, here's another funny clip that we should watch. Here's a leftist on, it's either on CNN or it's on Fox News. This guy's on with Tucker Carlson, and he's claiming that many Cubans got bored of their wives and families and defected to the U.S. They weren't trying to leave in an oppressive regime. Listen to this. Watch this.
Why is it only people in sinecures like yours, affluent, protected people in Western countries where they can speak their minds, who defend this guy? I've never met anybody who fled from Cuba who would defend him.
Because, well, the ones who have fled for a number of reasons, sometimes for personal reasons, they left their wives behind. They want to start a new life with
a new wife,
forget about the old family. You don't hear about
it. Wait a second. Can you imagine just the thought of being able, having the balls to go up on Fox News and tell people that people were making barges of garbage, turning cars into rafts, and trying to float 90 miles in the right direction to be able to get to a life that was semi-decent. That they did all of that to get away from their wives because they were bored and wanted to start over. They were going to, like, can you think about the hatred that men have for their wives in Cuba, that they would risk almost certain death at times, not only by shark-infested waters, but also by Castro's regime that's been known for sinking ships, for sinking boats, and destroying people, refugees, killing them, murdering them, and drowning them as they're trying to leave. Can you imagine the balls it takes to get onto a national television network and say this shit? Let's listen to a little bit more.
That. I don't think it takes the balls. Media there,
balls.
Take stupidity.
And no brain.
You don't hear about that in the media there. And nationalism. The
so you're saying that people who fled
people.
Castro were abandoning their families?
Some of them,
because
some
they
of them
like
there,
a girlfriend.
Some of them want to begin a new life there. Some of them were so it's not there's not this huge system of political oppression that is very popular among certain sectors there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
that's
all sorts
deeply,
of popular participation in Cuba there. I mean, you're only seeing one.
And you know what? I'm glad Tucker Carlson said cruel, because that is cruel. It's a cruel thing to not only invalidate the strife that sent so many people here. And to be honest, I would take every, I'm telling you this right now, I would take every, well, not everyone, not everyone, but I would more so take Cubans and anybody that lived in the Eastern Bloc who really lived under communism and left because they realized that they weren't living lives because of communism and they wanted anything else. Because no matter where they end up in the world, they'll know what they never want to happen again. Okay? So, by all means, that's another reason why this is not about race, why immigration, it's not about race. It's about controlling, and it's about controlling your borders and also keeping a handle on your culture. And your culture dictates a lot about how you're governing. And if your culture is one of independence, then it can't be going in the direction that we're going in. That's what needs to be protected, not the skin color of our majority populations. That's what they want you to believe, okay? That's what we're trying to protect. And in that vein, give me all the Cubans you can. Well, at least the ones that want to leave. Get all the Cubans that want to leave. Oh, gosh. Man, you know what? Hold on a second. I know what I want to listen to. Because now I'm all worked up. Okay. Great. Let me see here. Oh, look at this. This is off of Breitbart. ESPN loses over 500,000 subscribers, which, and I don't know, I don't want to speculate as to why it's happening. In the last 2 months, ESPN has lost 1.1 million subscribers.
Why?
I don't know. So in the last 2 months, it's over 1.1 million subscribers. A subscriber loss nearly the size of the city of Dallas.
I think it's because Michael Savage has been telling people to do it.
No. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you one thing, though. I can't imagine losing 1.1 million subscribers in 2 months, because every once in a while, you know, I'm on my YouTube channel every day. I'm trying to upload new clips and all that stuff. And I notice a subscriber count. I notice when it goes down one, when it goes up one. I scream like a girl when I see the subscriber count goes down one. Can you imagine have it go down 1.1 million in 2 months? It's like, oh, my God. No, I don't scream. I just go, what the fuck? What do you want from me? I look like I have like 239 subscribers on the channel. Tomorrow it's 238. I'll be like, what? First of all, who were you? And what the fuck do you want? What did you expect, motherfucker? Fuck you. But never mind that. We're chilling out with Chopin. Here's a good gig. We're going to talk about a little about movies now for the rest of the time. Rogue One writer Tony Gilroy is to make millions off of reshoots. So this one guy, this is off the Hollywood Reporter. Rogue One might be about a group of rebels absconding with plans from for the Death Star, But they aren't the only ones making out like bandits. Tony Kilroy, who was brought in to rewrite and help oversee reshoots for the Star Wars film that's about to come out, Rogue One, he will pocket north of $5 million for his efforts. And he was only a part of some of the reshoots. Can you imagine that? Good for him.
Yeah, sounds like the movie is probably not going to be that good.
I think it's gonna. I think it's gonna be great. Actually,
we'll see.
I think it's gonna be great, and I'm gonna hate. I'm still gonna sit there with bitter beer face because it's gonna be like. I remember what those two assholes said that wrote the movie. But they did say that this is going to lead directly into Episode 4. So wherever this leaves off, it's just like you can go home, watch Episode 4, and it is a complete continuation. That's pretty cool to me, so I can't wait for that one. Let's move on to something else. What's else going on in the chat room? Stephanie Evil, another fucking Death Star. There's a Death Star in every goddamn one. It's true. It's true. Too many commercials, too little content. Roku is okay. He doesn't like Sling. Sling TV, whatever. I was about to get Sling at one point. But I do have Roku. I have Roku in the bedroom. At least the box. I don't have any subscribe. That's where I get the. I put my Netflix and the YouTube and all that. I just watch shit at night. Lately, I've been watching the Clone Wars again. Matt, did you ever finish the Clone Wars?
I've seen all the Star Wars movies, bro.
No, the Clone Wars.
The show.
Show.
No. I think I watched like half of the first season.
Been watching that a little bit more lately. All right, what else do we have here? We had a really good first half. Rogue One writer makes a bucket off of nothing. Spiritual healer tricked a woman into having sex with him, claiming it would cure her marriage. See, that's... I mean, who wouldn't do that if you had that kind of influence? Get these little... these lonely housewives coming in. If you're a douchebag, then you can think, okay, well, this is going to be easy. She hasn't been touched in years. Sexual healer, this is from The Sun. Spiritual healer tricked a woman into having sex with him, claiming it would cure her marriage. Saeed Shah conned the 28-year-old mum into believing he could purify her relationship. Look at this guy's face. Okay, hold on. Imagine this guy telling you, if you have sex with him, it'll purify your relationship.
It looks like, hey, Indy.
Yes, Indy.
Indy, yes.
Bad dates. He was giving out bad dates, all right. That's right. He's what's his name from Indiana Jones.
Indy. And he's also the professor.
Mr. Mallory.
Yes, no, he's not Mr. Mallory.
Oh, he's the professor.
He's the professor. Mr. Mallory.
Well, now look what's happened to him. So take that one to the bank, everybody. So spiritual leader tricked a woman. Ex-hamster hackers have exposed 380 porn lovers' secret shame. And it could cause major embarrassment. So I'm sure everybody's come across ex-hamster videos in the past, right? You know, porn videos on ex-hamster?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you didn't actually join the site because...
No, I don't...
Yeah, we don't need to join the... Why didn't anybody join the site? Everybody should have a... at this point, not that... You know, I'm not talking about me. But if at this point... If you're really looking at the porn constantly, and it's just a part of your routine, then just take everybody's problems as a little bit of advice. It's like it's out there for you to learn from. Learn from everybody else's mistakes. Go to Yahoo, make a burner name, only watch porn in like an incognito window, and never use any kind of email that can ever be traced back to you again. Why is everybody like going on it with their fucking Facebook email? Stop going. Then again, you know what? Who knows what tracks I've left over the last... how many years have we been on the internet? I think I got my first compact Presario in like 1995. And I was on AOL by 1995-ish, 1996. I think by 1997 we already had floppy disks worth of porn. Okay? But at that time, all the porn sites like Persian Kitty and WorldSex.com and all that stuff, they would only update. You could only get a couple of pages of pictures because, of course, trying to watch or download a video, forget about it. Our friend Vinny used to have AVI, some of the first porn AVI files ever. They were like 10 seconds of thrusting and pumping. That's all it was. 10 seconds of really grainy thrusting and pumping. That's all we needed. 10 seconds? Fuck it. But, yeah, especially if you could put it on loop. Then it's like they're thrusting and pumping forever. Like, wow, this is great. But WorldSex.com, like these, some of these places, I mean, all of them, where you're only getting pictures, they updated like new pictures every week. So you wouldn't have any. You didn't have to update for anything. So 1996, 2006, 2016. So that's about 20 years of unfettered access to pornography. 20 years. So I'm sure I have some kind of a footprint.
It's a lot of ropes, bro.
Trust me, I'm not running for political office anytime soon. Unless everybody wants to be governed by President Dick Pick. That's what I'd be known as. Christ's sakes. All right, so we all make mistakes. Even if they're so fun. We all make really fun mistakes, all right? For Christ's sake. Anti-Fed candidate for Trump's Treasury Secretary. Now, obviously, he wasn't picked. But I want to bring this up because Frank Civitella said something very interesting about this. Let's get to the comments. So, Trump Treasury Secretary candidate is an anti-Fed libertarian who wants to return to the gold standard. Hold on a second. Let me open this up in a new window. This is off of Zero Hedge. Now, this guy... While speculation swirls around Trump's pick for the next Treasury Secretary, with eyebrows raised after the president-elect unexpectedly met with Goldman Sachs COO Gary Cohn earlier in the day, one of the more interesting names to have emerged on the running for the top economic post is that of John Allison, former CEO of the bank BB&T and of the libertarian nonprofit think tank, the Cato Institute. That makes Allison's candidacy especially notable. What makes Allison's candidacy especially notable is that he happens to be a prominent critic of the Federal Reserve as well as an advocate of the gold standard. Allison has said his, quote, long-term ambition, end quote, for monetary policy would be to get rid of the Federal Reserve and get back to a private banking system. He also accurately portrayed the Fed by saying that it is, quote, a scary organization because there's no control. Now, you can go and read the rest of this yourself. I don't want to take up any more airtime, even though we're going to spill over a little bit, I think. But check that out. It's off of Zero Hedge. I love getting stuff off of Zero Hedge. I am biased. And Caparato, I brought this up because I was thinking you'd like it. And the Fed, absolutely. But our good friend Frank Civitella, a financial genius, he wouldn't want me saying it, but, you know, compared to me, he is. Frank Civitella says, so what I'm guessing happened is they gave Trump the full unredacted file of the JFK assassination and then asked him if he was sure that Steve Munchkin wasn't a better choice. Abso-fucking-lutely. Because, like we're about to get around to right now, Trump actually gave the nod for Treasury Secretary to this Steve Munchkin guy. Steve M-N-U-C-H-I-N, Munchkin. So we went from the prospects of an anti-Federal Reserve libertarian who believes in the gold standard and privatization of banks, privatized banking system, to Steve Munchkin. And you could only imagine what that meant, because, you know, what happens every time somebody wants to really fuck around with the Federal
Steve
Reserve?
Munchkin.
So,
Steve Munchkin.
So I'm never going to be able to say his name. So don't even try. I know from now I am incapable of saying his name. It's always going to come back to Munchkin, and that's it. I can just feel it. But once again, Frank Civitella's comment. So what I'm guessing has happened here, that they gave Trump the full unredacted file of the JFK assassination and then asked if he was sure that Steve Munchkin wasn't a better choice. And Trump said, okay, Munchkin's fine. Munchkin's fine. He's great. He'll do great. All right, Munchkin, you're the guy.
Steve Munchkin. It's some dude that's... I wrote Steve Munchkin. I found the real Munchkin.
That's it. Okay, so we did anti-Trump. Why is this so funny? I thought it wouldn't be that funny after a while.
I'm a simple man.
Good. That's a good thing. Cologne. Everybody in Cologne, you know, you remember after New Year's Eve last year in Cologne, how many women got sexually assaulted and raped by roving packs of migrants. Cologne plans helicopters and mounted police to prevent mass sexual assaults on New Year's Eve. So this is good. We get to party with the army. We get to party with the army in Cologne because society isn't safe enough to celebrate any other way. Just imagine this shit. Just think about this shit. Think about this shit. That is not the solution. That should be the new norm for the people of Cologne when they want to celebrate what is usually a very peaceful Western drunken custom of saying goodbye to one year and welcoming the new one. This is the new norm that we have to party with the army? Are you fucking kidding me? But of course, because armies are supposed to defend you from invasion. And when you have immigration without assimilation, you essentially have invasion. And Europe, like America, has been invaded. Only Europe has a lot more of a violence problem. America, a little bit more of a drug problem. So, I mean, you know, pick it. This is what happens when you bend over backwards and you're answering to leftist, communist, multinational corporations. Everybody. You know, I better get chilled. Okay, we're going back to Glenn Miller now. Arm the Germans, Max says. He's going to have dinner. Good night. Good night, Max. Gadget Doc says you're going to like the Treasury Secretary. I don't, but then he has an ellipsis after that, so I don't know if that means sarcasm or if that is for real. What's going on, Stacy? I see you in there. What's going on, Dan? I see you in there too. Oh, the new Treasury Secretary. Yeah, he funded X-Men, and yeah, I know he was a Hollywood guy. But I'm not too much of a comic book remake movie guy. I'm not that big of a comic book. I like it all, but I don't know. You know, once again, I love this, you know, Stacy says gorgeous sound. If she's talking about this, then yes, I agree. Now, a lot of our grandparents, I always think about Glenn Miller, and I think of the boardwalk at Playland, only because of the stories I was told my grandparents, my mother, about, you know, all of the big band, orchestra, swing type of stuff as years went on that used to go on down at the boardwalk. And that just must have been so amazing. If I can go back in time, I think I might take the shot. Just to be like, I wouldn't try to touch anything or talk to anybody, but I'd love to just be at the boardwalk in, like, you know, June. Would it be post-war? It would have to be before. It would have to be prior to the war. Prior to the war. Maybe 1940. I don't know. We'll see. No, 1948. That's what we'll do. Even though Glenn Miller was already dead by then. Pop, 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 pop. All right, fake news list. We said Ben Carson didn't want to come out. Hamster, we did that. Sub count, we did that. Anthony Weiner came out of therapy. I don't know what that did for him. Absolutely nothing.
Electroshock therapy?
That didn't do anything for him. We talked about leftists thinking that Cubans got bored. And I think that's it. I think that's it. There was one thing here I think that's funny. We'll do this. And then tomorrow night I want to cover the two things. Now, there's this ridiculous IB Times article that I want to bring up tomorrow. Listen to this. How to keep Trump from becoming the president? The 25th Amendment could declare... The 25th Amendment. Now, because the recount thing is not, it's not going to happen, now they're going to the 25th Amendment, and they said that they might be able to declare the Republican candidate mentally unfit.
Fuck is wrong with these people?
This is, you talk about mentally unfit. Talking about mentally unfit, talking about people that come out there and try to say, no means no. Holy shit, stop raping us. Okay, this is it. Okay, if staring at somebody could be arbitrarily deemed rape, then I can arbitrarily deem this auditory rape. Political rape. Audible political rape. Or political sodomy. What can we say this is? This is like political sodomy. No means no, liberals. Stop calling them liberals. But we're going to do this tomorrow because there's this great clip over here where everybody's outside of Trump Tower and the protesters are singing New York hates you. Okay, they're screaming New York hates you and the best thing is that there's a couple of people there with all these LGBT type posters and the one right in front, look at this one. I don't know if you guys can see it. This person right here who is chanting, New York hates you. Queers against hate. Look at that. This person represents queers against hate. As they're chanting, New York hates you. New York hates you. I don't know. Go figure. So there's a lot of screws loose in New York. This place is not immune. We're like at the armpit of the country now. All right, so that's it for that. Maybe we'll do a little bit of that tomorrow. And and also tomorrow, because the 25th Amendment thing is going to be laughable. What I did want to do is, and I got this because I heard Mark Levin read it the other night, and I thought it was great. It's from whatthefounderswouldthink.com, and this is on the direct election of the president. Okay, talking about a democratic vote, a popular vote for the president. It was considered a couple of times by the founding fathers, and the history of the debates over whether or not it should be done by an electorate or if it should be democratic. And I think that this article is so awesome because not only does it clarify a lot of things that we already know and we had to keep reaffirming with people on a historical basis this year and a factual basis this year, not just an emotional, I want a happy meal right now, daddy kind of way. This is so awesome because it reveals another kind of genius of the founders. Now, I know that everybody would say that the real genius is to live in a stateless society where there is no government, but there are rules, there's just no rulers. I understand that. But when you look at all of the different ways that the founders stacked election cycles and different methods of electing and appointing people, sometimes you're just appointing, and it's at your discretion if you're an office holder. Other times you need to appoint with confirmation by a legislative body. Then, of course, it's just really great how all these different election cycles and all of these term limits and this and that and all these methods were supposed to interweave and interlock with each other to check the other one and to really keep political factions. Of course, it didn't work too well for reasons we'll get into tomorrow, from really taking over a government that should have checks and balances everywhere. So that'll be fun tomorrow. All right, guys, you guys have been fantastic. And thank you all once again, because this is a lot of fun, hanging out in the basement with you guys. And, of course, we're going to have to make a bigger basement soon because the goal is to grow this show. So thank you so much for being a part of it. Share the show with somebody. Give it a like. Give it a share. I have great highlights. I think all the highlights that we extract from the show are very, very poignant at times. They're informational. They're funny at times. Share the personality of the show with some people. Seriously, just do me a favor. Let's sink or swim by what we are, okay? But let's at least get it out there. I'm going to try to do the same. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Be good. Be well. Like and subscribe. And talk to you guys tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Actually, Matt, did you want to say anything else?
No.
All right. Are you going to have a good night? You're going to have a good night after this?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Good. Everybody's going to have a good night. All right, good night, everybody.